and please make sure we have speaker cards for those that wish to address the board.
All right. Before we start public forum, I was going to introduce Cheryl Schaffner, but now I don't see her.
There she is.
Oh, there you are. The reason I'm introducing Cheryl is because, mainly for the folks who are here from the city of Santa Cruz, who are here for item number 7, Cheryl Schaffner is from the Office of the Chief Counsel at the State Board and is assigned to be the counsel advising the board for item number 7. So I thought I would just point Cheryl out in case any of you city folks need to speak to her.
Okay. Why don't we begin? Let's see. How many? We have quite a few cards. About 40, 45 minutes. Okay. We'll begin. Hillary Hauser, followed by Terry Taylor, and then Steve Halstead.
The clicker. I'm Hillary Hauser from Heal the Ocean in Santa Barbara. Good afternoon. Thanks for having us here. The few of us are here to request regulatory assistance from the Regional Board on one of Santa Barbara County's most vital water quality issues we've been working on for nearly 7 years, and that's getting the septic systems removed from the beach of the Rincon, which is a world-class surfing spot from a total of 175 homes included in the South Coast Beach Community Septic to Sewer Project, which would hook up these homes to public sewer and remove aging inadequate septic system from nearly 7 miles of beach. 100% of the homeowners in 3 of these communities are ready and want to move forward, some of them desperately. The majority of homeowners in the Rincon also want to move forward. But 3 people are lobbying lawsuit after lawsuit to confound this process, holding the other communities hostage. They can't move forward because of these 3 people. Heal the Ocean is paying the legal bills for CARP Sanitary District because the district cannot spend ratepayer money annexing new customers. We're now at $65,000 for the district legal fees. We're at $20,000 of our own for a total of $85,000. CARP Sanitary plans to approve this project in September, and with the way things are going, we expect another lawsuit to be lobbied at us then. We're here to ask this board for regulatory help. We can't continue to do this thing alone, and we need help immediately. The slides of Rincon. This is Rincon Point. These homes, you can keep going, clicking, Terry. These homes don't comply with current regulations. In the 1950s, the county granted a variance for septic systems, allowed them in less than normal square footage. Houses are packed in here. Septic systems are set in shallow groundwater, sandy soils. Those built before 1983, regulations not in effect. Homes built after 1983 don't comply with the regulations regarding setbacks, shallow groundwater, and sandy soils. So then we go to the history slide. I'm not going to say all this stuff, but in your pack you have this. In 1998, surfers started complaining of ear and eye and nose infections, getting rashes, getting sick. They sent a petition of 3,500 names to the county. In 1998, Heal the Ocean to Santa Barbara County Environmental Health, and this is important, we did a DNA testing with the University of Washington lab. Human fecal pollution and pathogens were predominant in the Rincon Lagoon. These pathogens were not in the other site, on the other side of the freeway upstream. So that established the connection between the septic systems and the lagoon. Meanwhile, the county was conducting on the test on the Ventura side, found septic effluent in the leaching zone of the beach. These details were in this Kuntz memo, which has been supplied to the board and to your staff, Mr. Higgins.
Ms. Howes, your time is up. Can you wrap up your final comments for us,
okay, please? I'm going to let Terry show the rest of the slide. CSD, the district would like to okay this in September. For the RENCON, they're on Tuesday, they're considering okaying the project for the other communities. We're asking, if you can go to the last, we would like a cease and desist order for septic use of the RENCON, or a cleanup and abatement order with timeline for cleanup, or at the very least, if today we could get a resolution from the board supporting this sewer project, it would give us the help that we need. We can't do it alone anymore. We're about to lose this. We need help from the regional board, which has helped us get the EIR money for this project.
Thank you, Ms. Hoff. Just to respond to that, since this is a public forum, we cannot take any action on any of these items. We can hear you, but we can't take any actions at this time.
That's fine. If you would consider it, we'd be very grateful. Thank you.
Mr. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Hauser?
You may think that we're all powerful, and an example, the Los Osos situation is not unlike this. And we've had them under moratorium, building moratorium, for 20 years, and that hasn't encouraged them. I wonder what you think these cease and desist orders are going to actually accomplish, because people do have their rights to sue and object to things they don't like. I mean, whether you and I might agree that that's not a good thing for the community, that has their rights, and I'm not sure how this is going to stop that.
We certainly aren't asking the board to stop all this, but a vote of support from the board would help us with it. We're willing to duke it out in court and continue on. We're not going to give up, but we do need some moral support from the regional board and your approval of this method of getting septic systems out. It would help us.
Okay.
Any other questions, Ms. Howley?
Well,
Bress?
I guess, like the vice chair said, we can't take action on it, but I think that the record will show that this board has been strongly supportive of moving off of septic to sewer systems. So I think it would be a very plausible statement to say that as a general rule, it's a strong preference of the board and board members to make that conversion, especially in sensitive riparian or coastal zone areas. I mean, that's in the historical record of this board's actions.
I appreciate that, and we know it, and it is in the record. We did get a recommendation from the board for the EIR money, the $425,000, but we are now right up on the firing line. We kind of need a renewal of your support, even if it was just a resolution saying we support the sewer project.
Well, I don't know if council would speak to how such a thing would come. It would have to be a regularly noticed item for the board agenda in order for us to have that kind of, and I'd maybe you could speak to that.
Lori or Roger?
Yeah, I was going to make some response, but I was going to wait until we heard from the other speakers on this same issue.
We have two more speakers. Ms. Hauser, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Also, just for the record, in terms of what we can do in terms of prohibiting sewers or septic use, we don't have a building moratorium in Los Osos. We have a prohibition against use of septic tanks.
Ms. Taylor?
Oh, thank you.
Hi,
I'm Terry.
Okay. Are you going to work from that laptop? Yes, and I think that mic is, if you press the button there we go. You can...
Oh,
she's going to operate that?
Okay,
fine.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
My name is Terry Taylor, and I live in Sandyland Cove, and I'm a board member at Sandyland Cove Homes Association. And I'm also the point person who's been following the progress or lack thereof on the sewer, because our homeowners association is 100% in favor of moving off of our septic systems and into getting into the sewer, getting the sewer brought in. When she gets to Sandyland Cove, which is right here, you'll see that we not only border the Pacific Ocean, but we're wedged in right there next to the Carpinteria salt marsh, as are our neighbors, Sandpoint Road. And it's our concern as responsible citizens. I know for a fact that the first house was built there in the early 30s. We have houses that are still the original beach cottages, still using the original septic systems, as well as quite large houses that have put in new septic systems. I moved here to live in my beach house as a permanent resident in 1999. And it became very clear to me when I got here from New York that I was there for 2 weeks and I had to have it pumped, and then 2 weeks later I had to have it pumped. It was oozing, my leach lines were gone, so I had to make the decision, what was I going to do, patch it up? Well, environmentally, I couldn't go there, so I put a whole brand new septic system in, knowing that in 2 years we would have the sewer coming in. Well, that was 2 years, and then 2 years later it was 2 years, and we just feel very frustrated because we as a homeowners association want to get the sewer system in. We feel from the terrain in our neighborhood, that's the only sensible thing. So we're just asking for your help. If there's anything you can do to be supportive of the project, we would so much appreciate it.
Any questions, Mr. Shellcross?
Yeah. These look like probably pretty expensive homes. I mean, they're not beach shacks by any means. What's the three people who are against this, why are they against it, or do you know?
You know,
it's not for cost.
They're my neighbors. I can speak to them.
Okay, well, are you going to speak next?
Yes.
Okay, we'll just wait for you then. Thanks.
Yeah, because I can't answer that.
Any other questions? Ms. Taylor? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next speaker is Steve Halstead. Is that correct?
Yes. My name is Steve Halstead. I'm an owner at Rincon Point. We're a community of 72 homes, half in Ventura County, half in Santa Barbara County, with homes built from 1934 to 1997. It's fully developed with home values in the range of $1.5 to $10 million, all currently on septic systems. Our community surrounds Rincon Creek Lagoon on both sides and shapes the world-famous Rincon Surf Break. And on our east boundary is a California public state beach with a parking lot, and our west boundary, a parking lot and a Santa Barbara County Beach Park. So the ocean where we reside is heavily used by the public. On the 10 miles of the coastline to the east of us towards Ventura are the Ventura County beachfront communities of Faria Beach, Sea Cliff, Solimar, and Muscle Shoals, which you all have driven past, I'm sure. All of these communities abandoned septic systems in the 1980s and pumped their effluent to the Ventura Sewage Treatment Plant. Why did this happen? In 1979, Ventura County issued a report which resulted in abandonment of the septic systems. It stated that on-site subsurface sewage disposal was limited by poor subsurface soils, inadequate lot size, outdated facilities that didn't meet current standards, and high groundwater levels. For example, my own system was constructed in 1936, and my lot surface is 8 feet above mean high tide, which is about 4.5 feet above high tide mark. So I hope you're aware, a survey of on-site wastewater treatment systems funded by Santa Barbara Environmental Health, done by Cuesta Engineering in 2002, categorized the Rincon Point community septic system as high risk to public health for exactly the same reasons that caused Ventura County to act 23 years earlier. With respect to our Rincon community, Ventura County Environmental Health says we shouldn't be on septic systems. Santa Barbara Environmental Health rates our community as high risk with respect to public water pollution. The public clearly wants us off septic systems. Individual owners, we have no mandatory homeowners association, but individual owners formally voted in 2000 with a 73% yay vote to annex to Carpinteria Sanitary District and pay $40,000 per parcel for a sewer system, and this was later voided by a lawsuit. Carpinteria Sanitary District is prepared to annex our community and provide sewer services, but we're still on septic systems, worn down and poorer by the delays, struggle, and litigation with three owners that are against sewer service. Can't public agencies do something to accelerate the process rather than just documenting that our staying on septic systems is a high risk to public health? We need your help to allow this conversion to happen. Owners have shown by the previous vote that we want reliable wastewater disposal without criticism for degrading water quality. You are responsible for regional water quality. Please use your position and authority to make this project happen. And Mr. Daniels has stepped out.
Yes. Are there any questions from the board?
Mr. Halstead, could you comment about the Mr. Daniels' question about why three owners are resisting this, in your understanding?
There are different reasons. If I gave my own characterization, one of them feels financially he doesn't want to spend the money. A second one I assess is worried about the environment and has stated that they think that it's good to have wastewater used to recharge the water table. And the third one is regularly against everything in the community.
Okay.
But to your question, Mr. Daniels, that you're unable to take action, what if there was no support by Heliocean? Would you allow this public risk to continue? I mean, what if we didn't have Heliocean stepping up and paying legal bills and trying to move this forward? If they weren't there, nothing would be happening. And we have these reports saying we're a risk to public health, and we don't like it as our people, you know, we see people in the neighborhood. When are you going to clean up your community? How would it happen?
Well, I think the issue about not being able to take action is that it's not on the agenda. As a public agency, we can only take action on anything that's publicly announced that people can show up. So today we can't take action.
We've been working on this for 7 years. We can wait a few more months.
So it could be, you know, at the next meeting, action could be taken because it could be on the agenda then.
Right.
Well, maybe Roger could speak precisely to that point.
I don't want to see if there's any other questions from any board members, then Roger could wrap it up.
Well, I just had one question. You know, why has Santa Barbara County not stepped up to the bat, to the plate, which, as you pointed out, Ventura County has had this done over 20 years ago?
When I've asked Environmental Health, they said that power and authority flows from the Regional Water Control Board.
I don't believe that the Rincon area in Ventura was, you know, of course I can't refer to that directly, but I was on the city council in Ventura back there, and I don't recall the agencies. I think the county just stepped in. County Health stepped into it and said that they need an ordinance to remove those. They have the power.
And I don't know whether that in 1980, whether that Prop 218, which requires normally you vote and if 50% of the members vote for it, then it becomes a mandatory project that everybody supports. I don't know when that came in. That's what we're under right now. Mm-hmm. And in the last vote, we had 73% of the people for it. So we expected we had a done deal.
Any other questions by board members? Thank you, sir,
for being here this afternoon.
Mr. Briggs, your comments, please.
Well, first of all, we're very familiar with difficulties with on-site disposal at Rincon. We're familiar with the inadequate siting conditions. Some of the, a lot of the community is very similar to many of the areas in Los Osos, with it being very close to the beach and with shallow groundwater and inadequate, impossible separation to groundwater. We reviewed the DNA study that Heliocean did in conjunction with the county, and I'm pretty sure that was the first use of DNA technology in our region. It's been used subsequently, but I think that was the first one that was used to identify this kind of a problem. And so that was kind of a groundbreaking study, and it was very damning in terms of the bacteria coming from the septic systems. I met with Assemblywoman Hannah Beth Jackson at Rincon years ago. on this very issue, and that eventually her concern about problems with septic systems eventually led to Assembly Bill 885 being passed, which, you know, the way legislation grows, it ends up affecting the entire state now. And the state board is currently working on regulations as a result of that. We worked with the Carpinteria Community Services District. Mike Higgins of our staff has been involved sporadically over the years, and we were very supportive of the district stepping up and taking action kind of above and beyond the call of duty as far as the district's responsibilities, but doing what they felt was right. And they were the closest agency and the most likely agency to get involved if there was a sewer to go in. So we certainly supported them in that effort. We were very hopeful that the project would proceed. Heal the Ocean was assisting in terms of the EIR providing backup. And so we were very, very hopeful, as Heal the Ocean and as the Carpinteria Sanitary District were, and it sounds like the vast majority of homeowners, were that this project would proceed. And as Mr. Daniels pointed out, we've certainly had experience with another community where folks have exercised their right to sue, and it does cause delays that are beyond the control of all of us, and that is their right, and there is nothing that the regional board can do to prevent that. It does have to play itself out. Hopefully good will prevail and that the environment will benefit from the way that those any legal challenges play out. In the meantime, we could take action. Hillary Hauser mentioned the possibility of a resolution, a cease and desist order. I don't know if you mentioned cleanup. I think you mentioned cleanup abatement order as well. Cease and desist order, and we've discussed. We've received your letter. We've discussed enforcement options at a staff level, and it's a little bit touchy to talk about enforcement options in the public setting, but I will say that a cease and desist order is not really appropriate. I won't go into the reasons for that. It's just not a very good vehicle given the situation. A resolution we could ask the board to adopt, and I think probably the best it would do is go towards your desire to have the support of the regional board. It would really be just that, expressing support for solving the problem. Would not, at least in terms of what we're envisioning, it would not really be enforceable. What could be enforceable are cleanup or abatement orders. One of the difficulties there, and of course we've run into this conundrum with Los Osos as well, is that we're talking about individual property owners and a multitude of individual property owners. So it would mean that many cleanup or abatement orders. But those are our options that we're considering. We tended to not think that a resolution was terribly useful because it's not enforceable, but I would certainly defer to the local community folks if they think that actually would be helpful. It's a lot easier to do than as many individual enforcement actions as would be involved. But that's where we are in terms of our discussing our reaction to the Heal the Ocean letter.
Is that all of our avenues of support for these folks?
No.
Okay. Lauren?
The board could adopt a prohibition zone prohibiting the use of septic tanks in this area. It would take probably several years because the board would have to make the appropriate findings about nuisance and amend the basin plan, would then have to go to the state board and the Office of Administrative Law for approval. That would probably include some sort of a time schedule to come into compliance with the prohibition. Another alternative would be to require all these septic tank operators to either obtain individual waivers or waste discharge requirements. They're currently discharging without WDRs, so they can be required to submit a report of waste discharge seeking WDRs or a waiver, or to obtain waivers or WDRs.
Well, I'd go for all of both. Whatever we can do, in my opinion, whatever we could do to assist these folks as soon as possible, that's That would be my position.
Right. It seems like the only thing we can do today is to ask that this be agendized, right?
Right.
In some form.
I'd like to suggest that we do a resolution at the next meeting, because I think that would be an easy thing to do. And the meeting past that is in Santa Barbara, so maybe we should take up the issue of perhaps the individual things that we discussed there. You know, the individual WDRs that we do.
Well, the individual waste discharge requirements would be an administrative action that we could do as staff. Also, the cleanup or abatement orders would typically be an administrative action.
Well, but maybe we want to have hearings on this. Maybe, you know, public exposure is as important as the actual action itself.
Mm-hmm.
So having actual hearings on this in Santa Barbara might be an effective thing to do. So I agree that we may not have to do it, but that maybe just having the hearings would be all we need to accomplish.
Well, I think would show the community we are concerned, and we are concerned.
Absolutely.
And, you know, whatever the timeline is, if you don't start, then the time just makes it longer. So if we start a process today, you know, everybody looks at Los Osos as 25, 30 years down the road. Hopefully this wouldn't be the situation. Surely I won't be on the board at that time. But
oh, yes, you will. We won't, but you will.
And I second that motion.
But anyway, I think the process, whatever process that we're going to, and direction we're going to take, the sooner we start that process, the sooner the outcome, the resolution will come forth. And, yes, I would like to see it on the next board agenda. Mr. Shelko.
Yeah, well, one more thing I'd like to have staff look into is, and Dr. Villeneuve sort of mentioned this, is find out what Ventura County did that Santa Barbara County didn't do. And if it's something that they can do at this point, maybe we might also consider a letter to the county of Santa Barbara urging them to move in that direction.
Okay, I'd ask for some flexibility in terms of how we would exactly what we would agendize in October.
Okay.
And we'll look into both Ventura and Santa Barbara counties.
Okay.
Status.
You got enough direction?
I think so.
All right. I will go on to the next public comment speaker, and it's Jack McCurdy.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Mr. Chairman now, and members of the board. I'm Jack McCurdy. I'm from CAPE. The California Energy Commission conducted a two-day conference last month in Sacramento on advanced cooling strategies and technologies, primarily for existing power plants facing possible repowering. I attended on behalf of CAPE, and I would like to report on it to you. I think it was a very important event. Just the fact that the CEC saw fit to hold such a meeting of industry representatives, energy engineers, experts, and state consultants at this particular time seems significant because it appears to recognize that change is in the wind. The conference's message was loud and clear. Power plant builders should realize that cooling generators with water from the ocean, rivers, lakes, or beneath the ground is a thing of the past in California. And alternative cooling technologies are becoming more efficient, more effective, and affordable. The primary reason for this shift is the growing scarcity of water in the face of burgeoning state population in the coming decades, the conference was told, and also for protection of impacted marine resources. Pressures to reduce consumption of water by power plants are increasing, not only in water-short regions of the U.S. and Southwest, but throughout the U.S., an expert said. As a result, alternative technologies are not only expected to increase, but particularly in the southwestern United States, this has already happened, that expert said. The keynote speaker was John Giesman, a member of CEC, who said, "We have tried to send a message to builders that we will not look with favor on the use of fresh water for energy production. We will be diligent in looking at alternatives to once-through cooling." A policy approved by the CEC in 2003 contained just that message. Now the CEC staff is preparing a similar report against the use of ocean water, which the CEC will consider for adoption this fall. The report recommends that the CEC approve once-through cooling only where alternative water supply sources or alternative cooling technologies are shown to be both environmentally undesirable and economically unsound. The report also recommends that the CEC provide financial incentives for plant builders to use alternative cooling technologies and to prepare regular current impact studies for all coastal plants. One expert predicted that as alternative cooling technologies gain favor, the cost of equipment will come down because of the market for air-cooled condensers is heating up. Several others reported on new ways to make air-cooled condensers more effective during hot periods so their size could be kept smaller, ways to sharply cut mist drift from water-cooled closed-cycle systems, and discovery of non-chemical water treatment technologies to decrease maintenance costs of closed-cycle systems. You have my full report there. Thank you.
Question for you, sir?
Mr. McCurdy?
Mr. McCurdy, question for you. On page 3, you cited a CEC consultant, John Malbich, who submitted a paper into the record in which he concluded that, quote, the cost of water saved, unquote, ranges from $1,100 to $1,400 per acre foot, or $350 to $450 per 1,000 gallons. Do you know either how he arrived at those figures or... If not, is that paper on the CEC website, or is it available? Or
yeah, there's a whole packet of papers that are available, which I can submit to the board. But I can definitely submit that particular one if you're interested. It was a very technical but fascinating paper, I thought.
Can we request that paper be submitted? Or yeah?
Well, if you're able to submit it to Mr. Briggs, that would be fine.
I'll be happy to.
I'd like to see that paper.
Good. Thanks. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Our next speaker is Richard LaGrosse.
LaGrosse.
Okay. Followed by Lindy Owen and then Julie Tacker.
Good afternoon, board. My name is Richard LaGrosse. I am one of the board members of the Los Osos CSD. Today, Los Osos experienced a wonderful day. We finally broke ground on the much-needed and wastewater project for the community of Los Osos. There was a large community turnout. Both pro and con were there, a very lively group. But needless to say, at the end of the day, the fact remains that we have broken ground, and very soon actual construction will commence. I personally appreciate this board's input over the last couple of years in terms of moving this vital issue forward. But I come here today as a board member seeking information from this board and from Water Quality Board staff. As you know, there is a recall coming up. I'm one of the board members being recalled along with Stan Gustafson and Gordon Hensley. There has been a hue and cry from the community of those seeking to recall us that we cease making all decisions regarding moving forward on this project until a recall happens so the community can speak its mind on the current project. I and Stan and Gordon are resisting this. We feel that there would be repercussions from this board and from the state if we failed to move forward with a project that is ready to go. I'm here to ask the question, what specifically would this board do if this board at this time stopped the project for another 3 months to see the results of the upcoming election?
How can you actually do that if you've just started breaking ground.
I am just asking the question.
Yeah.
I need to take this information back to my community so I can tell them what would be the probable outcome from this board.
Well, maybe Ms. O can really can address that.
Well, we actually had a hearing a few months ago where we talked about all the various options we could take. So he could certainly get a transcript of that hearing if he wanted to.
Well, there was an informational item, a staff report to the board in July of 2004 on various enforcement alternatives in Los Osos. And in addition, Mr. Briggs wrote a letter in December indicating what staff's position was in terms of enforcing the time schedule order. And as far as I know, staff's position hasn't changed. But as far as the board determining what enforcement action they may take, they can't do that in this form.
Well, those letters referred to that you expect our community to move forward on this project, that any stopping of the project for unforeseen circumstances would be seen as a breach of our time order schedule and that we would be fined. I'd like to have some indication of what that fine would be.
There's a fine set forth in the order, but in terms of what staff might recommend, we can't make those kind of we can't address that in this forum.
Very good. Thank you.
I can tell you that I'm sure my colleagues would say that we would take a very dim view of the CSD stopping the project for a vote. That's my personal opinion of how the board would react to that, dimly. But exactly what we would do, I don't know. Now, there's a number of options that have been discussed previously, and I'm sure all those would come into play. So keep up the good work.
Well, thank you very much.
And get the project completed.
Very good.
Thank you.
Also, Mr. Chairman, in addition to the letters that Council Oaken referenced, we went to the CSD, initial CSD meeting with the latest makeup of the board from the, was it November election? Because there was some question about what was the effect of that election. Does it change anything? And our message was no, it doesn't change anything. We still expect the district to proceed, and if they're doing anything that in our judgment is a delay that is avoidable, then we would recommend enforcement action. Now, of course, the board cannot say what they would do in terms of reacting to something that's on the agenda in the future. Nor can I say exactly what an amount would be as far as penalties, but we did provide in writing, I believe, what the maximum amount would be, and it's a huge sum. It's $10,000 a day for violation of the time schedule order, and so I think we've been very clear both in writing and my addressing the CSD Board of Directors directly at their January meeting, that we expect the district to proceed, and we understand that they've had various hurdles along the way. We were just talking about with the Rincon situation that if people sue and the district has to do what they need to do in terms of responding to that litigation, that's what they have to do. If there's a delay because of, there has been a delay because of Coastal Commission permits in the past, then they have to deal with that, and we understand that. But if they take any action that is not in response to an unavoidable delay, then I've said we will recommend enforcement action to this board.
Okay, Ms. Owen.
Good afternoon. Lindy Owen. I live in the Prohibition Zone in Los Osos. We did have the groundbreaking ceremony, and Mr. Buell has said that we are not ready to begin the project. We have a huge list of permits that have not been filled and are not ready to be looked at yet. So the project is not going forward yet. I would like to also say that the recall election is to recall the three members of the board who oppose looking at some kind of a choice that is affordable for our community and will do the job and meet your requirements. We've gotten no help from the existing board, and we have two members that are moving forward trying to get these alternatives looked at. We voted in a CSD based on a step collection system and a ponding system. The ponding system didn't work. The step collection system wasn't complete. We have come back with a full step collection system and a certified ponding system that is from Canada and will work beautifully for our community and is supported by many people in the wastewater area. So my question is, the project has doubled in price, and I know that you think that people should just go ahead and get it done. The problem is it's a bad project. It's not going to solve our wastewater problems as well as the effluent collection system. And we would like to have your attention and support in face of the $300 a month charge for this sewer plant and its components to look at an alternative. The alternative could be built in the same amount of time because it doesn't tear up every street. It directionally bores the plumbing for it. The collection system is what takes the longest amount of time, will cause the hugest disruption in our town, and cost the most amount of money. If we could do it for a quarter of that cost and do a great job at cleaning up the wastewater and not let a drop go into the ground, would you support us? It would take a little extra time to design, but I believe it can be built in a half the time that this collection system can be built in. And I have another question. Do you believe that large pipes carrying raw sewage close to a water supply are a safer method of wastewater collection versus pipes that take effluent from a pre-treated septic system that's certified, and that system carries the liquid? It's called effluent, and it would be 3 feet under the ground. It's an easily repairable system and monitorable. I want your answer as to which you think is the safer for our future water supply. We have a choice still. All we did was stick a shovel in the ground. It's meaningless. Until those permits are gotten and all the work that still has to be done, this sewer plant is being rushed forward before our election. And I'd like to hear your opinions of our alternatives in case that we do need to have an alternative looked at. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Tacker?
I'm sorry, I did have a couple questions.
Mr. Chair, this is a public forum to allow the public to make comments to the board, and the board's under no obligation to respond.
I understand. We may have some comments after we hear Ms. Tacker's comments.
Okay.
Because they may be overlapping.
I would appreciate it. We do need your help in Los Osos. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I am Julie Tacker, and I, too, am a director of the Los Osos Community Services District. I do have some questions for your board today. They don't parallel Ms. Owen's comments at all, so I don't think that was relevant. What I'm here to ask you today...
You're starting off on the right foot. Continue.
In 2003, your board... authorized a waste discharge order for our Los Osos sewer project. It was promptly litigated by a water purveyor in our community, California Cities Water, a subsidiary of Southern California Water. In the documents that preceded and went back and forth with that lawsuit, this board chimed in and said that what the demands that the California Cities Water was asking, the further treatment of our wastewater before disposal, would kill the project. The added cost of reverse osmosis would kill the project, making it infeasible for Los Osos. My question to you today is, what was that price? What price was that would kill the project? Because I believe we have exceeded that price by accepting bids that are 50% over what our engineers' estimates were. On that same note, as far as recharging our groundwater, the district has recently received new information in a groundwater management plan from our hydrologists. I hope that your board has been copied that document. Right now, our water supply depends on our upper aquifer that right now our septic tanks are discharging into. Our sewer system will then again discharge into the same upper groundwater. When is your board going to address this recharge. The project is a recharge, and the project should meet recharge standards. Just as Cal Cities said in 2003, our new information confirms that. Those are my questions.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Briggs, did you want to respond to anything that was said?
Well, Ms. Owen asked about more time to study more alternatives, and this is what the community has been saying for 25 years. And the board has basically given the community 25 years to study new alternatives, and through the county. And then when the community said that they felt that they were getting shortchanged by the county, didn't have the right project before them, and wanted to form their own community services district to represent them as a community in order to propose a project and go forward, that's exactly what happened. And it's certainly understandable that with a project that is this big, that there is not going to be a majority of opinion about what the perfect project should be. That would be nearly impossible. So it's, I guess understandable that people would continue to say that we need to go back and study more alternatives. But been there and done that about 10 times. And it's no longer appropriate to do that. Now, we could certainly go into detail about specific issues that individuals continue to bring up before the board, like is it better to have a big pipe next to a water supply line or a little pipe that is only 3 feet deep that's treated? Well, the reality of that is that septic tank effluent is just as numerous in fecal coliform bacteria as raw sewage, and a little pipe 3 feet below the surface, that means it's probably going to be above the level of a water supply line. Also, that little pipe is going to be under pressure as opposed to a gravity line. So if the little line is under pressure and there is a leak, the water is going to be going out. It's going to be over at a higher elevation than the water supply line. So which situation is worse? I don't think that's necessarily a better situation. But not to get into a debate about all the details of various alternatives that different people have over the years said is better than whatever happens to be proposed is on the table. It just seems to us that the basic pattern is whatever is proposed, there are folks who say that's not right and there's something better. And the board has taken a stand to say you've had enough time. 25 years is just about enough time to come up with a project. The district has broken ground and we expect them to proceed with construction.
Okay, my only comment, and I have stated this before, both I think to both of you, certainly to Ms. Tacker, and maybe Ms. Schicker, and that is the people of Los Osos voted in a community services district to make these decisions on behalf of that community. This district came before our board with a project. It was reviewed and accepted, and we issued a permit for that project. We're not going to get into the what-ifs of this one or that one, whether some other alternative might be better or not. It's not before us. We don't have an opinion on it. Those issues need to be dealt with your elected representatives. Okay? Thank you. All right. Any other board comments about this item? Mr. Daniels?
The issue about the kind of system to be designed here, I mean, I personally, and I don't think the other board members, really have ever cared what was designed there. In fact, legally, I think we're not allowed to care what's there. We were supposed to set the standards, and then whatever you want built, it's fine. The problem is today, as we've said, some people don't like the current design. I mean, whether it was ponded or whatever, that was originally proposed, and yeah, that was fine, and other things are proposed, okay, that's fine. And they have decided to do something now, and indeed, as it's mentioned, some people aren't going to like anything that gets put there. So there's always going to be other choices. And the problem before us today is if you want to start all over again, and that's basically what this, your EIR, if you changed it as you specify, the EIR would be invalid. Your Coastal Commission approval would be invalid. Your county approval would be invalid. You'd have to start those all over again. And there'd be some people that wouldn't like what you do. So you would get sued at every step. So it would be another 10 years before we get back to this position. And then there'd be another group of us, of you in here saying, okay, we don't like it. We want to change. Because there's some folks who don't want any system at all. So there'd be always opposition. And that's, and I think the thing that I want, I think most of the board members want, we just want a solution. And we want it to be timely.
Okay. Any other board comments? All right. Richard Zadowski, followed by Heather Allen. And our final speaker is Thomas LaRoe.
My name is Richard Zadowski. My vita includes, I'm a degreed mechanical engineer from the California State University of Los Angeles in 1981. I'm a holder of a California Water Environment Association Grade 4 Wastewater Collection System Certificate. And I'm speaking on behalf of the Central Coast Outfall Ocean Outfall Group. Mr. Ricano was going to be here, but he's indisposed at this time. And Mr. Ricano had presented a plan called the ABC plan, which all of you can view on stopthewaiver.com at yahoo.com, or you can contact him at joeylittleshell@yahoo.com. Basically, the ABC plan takes into account the Los Osos and Morro Bay watershed and takes and makes a regional solution to a regional problem between Cayucas, Morro Bay, and Los Osos. As far as the collection system in Los Osos, the collection system is going to have to be done anyway, brand new. Morro Bay and Cayucas are communities that are in dire need of a sleeving or replacement of their existing sewer lines due to the fact that the movement and the geography of that area. I urge the board to review this regional solution, the ABC plan, to a regional problem that exists in the Los Osos and Morro Bay watershed. And it also has a Duke option that addresses the Cape's concerns about the water. They can use that way. This plan was presented to the community, Los Osos Community Service District, months ago. I have a videotape of that presentation. It was presented a couple of times and was completely ignored. And also, I would urge this regional board to view this, and based on what happened in the Northern California with Pacific Lumber, address that this is a watershed issue. And precedent was set by stopping Pacific Lumber. So please take a look at it. And if you have any questions, you can just contact those emails. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Heather Allen.
Hi there. My name is Heather Allen. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me today. I'll take as little of your time as possible. I have a paper copy of a letter that NRDC sent via email just in the last few days. And I just wanted to let you know I'm with Friends of the Seattle in Pacific Grove, California, and I just wanted to kind of update you on what we've been doing since our last meeting in May on the Monterey Peninsula Stormwater Management Program. Basically, we've teamed up the environmental group that presented to you. We teamed up and we've been working on developing a matrix that compares three different stormwater management programs: the San Diego Stormwater Management Program, the Urban Model Program, and then the Monterey Program and the Salinas Stormwater Management Program. So we're working on creating a matrix, and then we'll also provide you a narrative copy of our results. I just wanted to make myself, it's just one copy, some are double-sided, or it's just one sheet. I just want to make myself available to you for any questions you might have about what we're doing with that, and we're working on getting that to you as soon as possible. I'm just kind of let you know what's up.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thomas, is it Laureau?
Laurie.
Laurie.
Thank you. I'm Tom Laurie. I live in Morro Bay. I had a few comments about the Duke modernization project. I know it's been on the back burner for several years, and it probably will be for another year, but when it does get on the front burner, I believe that there's a serious CEQA issue that has to be revisited. Duke, the CEC licensed the Duke modernization based on a baseline operating profile that was established between 1996 and 2001, where they used the existing plant used 386 million gallons a day, and the new plant would use 370 million gallons a day. And with that comparison or that test for CEQA, the new plant's impacts would be insignificant compared to the existing plants. The same public resources code, which entitles you as a parallel licensing agency to use the lead agency's CEQA finding, also requires you to revisit CEQA in the event that circumstances have changed. And in this case, Duke is within 1 year of mothballing the plant, and it will not operate indefinitely in the future as they testified and as the Energy Commission accepted it. So once you revisit CEQA, you'll have to revisit alternatives, and you'll have to revisit cumulative impacts, which are now quantified by the study that was done by Diablo. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is targeted for the December board meeting, by the way.
Okay, last speaker is Russ Jacobson.
I understand that Mr. Jacobson is going to be speaking about the De La Vega Frisbee Golf Course.
Correct.
There's an item on the agenda related to the De La Vega
course.
Golf Course, which is a different facility.
Correct.
I'm not advising the board on the De La Vega Golf Course, but Ms. Schaffner is, and she's here. But
this is separate from what that item
okay.
is. I've got a letter. I didn't bring enough copies. I apologize. But I have a letter with some attachments, some pictures. The reason I'm here was at the May meeting in Watsonville. You were addressed by a neighbor of De La Vega, Ms. Lori Fallon Hobbs, and I listened to her testimony, and it sounded like she was presenting the Frisbee area, as she called it, the disc golf area beyond the ball course, as an environmental problem and was asking this board to do something about it. And almost everything she said about the course is untrue. And I'm not saying she intentionally was lying to you. I'm just not sure she was correctly informed about what's going on up there. She was making statements such as this place is a complete mess and it's out of control, that the disc golfers were only supposed to have a couple baskets there, that were there without permission from the city, that were there without permission from the guard, that it was only supposed to be a weekend thing, that nobody else is able to use the disc golf course area, and on and on. And why she's bringing these up to you, I'm not sure. There are some erosion issues up there which are being addressed by the disc golf club and the city and the state. There's some land use issues that need to be worked out first, but amongst all parties, the erosion up there is a number one priority, and it is being worked on, and it will be worked out eventually. In terms of the use of the disc golf course, environmentally, we have improved that area tremendously in the 20-plus years that we've been there. In that packet, there is an article in the Santa Cruz Sentinel, 1984, front page, when the course was installed. She indicated that the former director of Parks and Recreation did not give us the permission. There's a letter in there sent from Mr. Lang indicating that he's had nothing but excellent relationships with the disc golfers up there. There's also an article from a national publication, the Parks and Recreation magazine, back in January, citing the De La Vega disc golf course as a prime example of where disc golf has improved the environment in an area. Prior to the disc golf course going in there, this was used as an illegal dump site, was used by off-roaders that were tearing it up. A lot of the topsoil removal that some of you may have seen on a tour in September of last year was there 20 years ago, before we ever got there. There are photos in that packet from 1986 and 1987 showing what is now hole 1 and the bottom of 27 looking up to the highest point of the disc golf course, commonly known as Top of the World. And there's photos of disc golfers removing trash, and you can see erosion running through the middle of this large patch above the road in the high spot. A photo taken earlier this year of that same location, it is all filled in with grass. We do fire control up there, we pick up trash, we pay for trash removal, we pay for recycling removal, we pay for the restrooms, we pay for liability insurance. We have a large group of very helpful volunteers that continually work on the environment up there, and it's not just for the play, it is with concern of the neighbors and with concern of the runoff and concern of the erosion. And we do fire control. Most recently we were mowing and weed whacking simply for fire control, not to help with the course play at all. Members of our club, the active members, we have a PhD biologist, we have a fire captain with the Department of Forestry, we have a forester, we have environmental lawyers, I'm a lawyer, I'm a former firefighter. We have a good group of people working to improve that area, and what I'm asking for the board is to note my corrections of her testimony and urge you that I don't think this board does need to take action up there, at least not at this point, until the land use issues have been worked out and we're allowed to address the erosion problems ourselves. One final note, there's a copy of Senate Bill 770, which talks about the land swap issues going on between the city and the state.
Any questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I don't have the chair just prompting me to comment on where we are with the disc golf course. I always want to say frisbee. I guess that's patented or something. Yes, we did go on a tour up there, and we understood that there were projects in the pipeline to try to make some improvements as far as some of the hard pan areas with the lack of soil. And I think they were basically looking for funding at that point. I don't know if they've been successful in obtaining additional funding. I think there were some projects through IWERP. Good, you're nodding your heads. That's good. And I'm not sure I could tell you what that acronym stands for. But we were cognizant of the fact that there were local watershed efforts. And I believe RCD was also involved, although I may be mixing up with some other areas in the Arana Gulch watershed. But I guess the point is there was generally an understanding that in spite of whatever the history is as far as land uses, I guess there were military operations up there as well at one time, in spite of whatever the history of land use has been, that there was an understanding that there are runoff problems. Accelerated runoff from the lack of topsoil and the lack of the ability of that land in certain areas to retain runoff causes problems with down cutting down below or through the course and on further on down, and therefore erosion. So, you know, the good news is that there was understanding of those problems. There were projects that were envisioned to try to correct those problems, and the watershed group was the Arana Gulch Watershed Group was looking, along with the city, I guess, is looking for funds to try to implement those projects.
Okay, we are going to take a 10-minute break before we start agenda item number 7, and that's to allow us some time to switch staff.